You know that old saying when always they say that, united we stand, divided we fall, and all.
I want to create solutions which help people.
Be this person I want to be in the future. I have to follow this path.
Seeing their lifestyle, you know, the type of lifestyle that I want.
Africa's bank accounts, paint your dreams.
Welcome to today's episode. On today's episode, I am joined by an ambassador of many and many things. His name is Brandon. How are you doing, Brandon?
How are you doing, Aubrey?
I'm good. How has the week been?
I'll say that it was okay, but today has been quite busy. I had an event with Google developer groups between 12 and 2, but otherwise, it has been good.
I see a very busy man. So, Brandon, can you just tell us who is Brandon? What do you do? What is Brandon besides being what you are on social media?
Besides what is on social media, I'll say that Brandon is a guy who is, you know, trying to make his mark in the world, not necessarily the tech world where most people know me from, but, you know, I'm just trying to make a mark in the world and help others, you know, do the same as I find my way, you know, up there.
It's very ambitious. I think I met you personally through the tech world, and like you said, it's just you're trying to be doing more than the tech world. Of course, that people might know you from certain different parts. So, Brandon, can you just tell us a bit more about yourself, you know, how you grew up, the background, just, you know, your life in general?
Brandon is a guy from Chitungwiza, right, which is where I grew up, where I did my education from primary school up to high school. Then, after high school, I went to Midland State University, where I was doing telecommunications engineering. In the first 2 years, you know, there isn't much to say about me. But then in my second year, that is when I sort of like wanted to sort of like make a name for myself, because I was tired of being, you know, sort of like transparent in a way. So yeah, from there onwards, that is when I became involved in communities. Not only tech communities, but I've been active in the entrepreneurship space. I've also been active in the environmental activism space. So I'll just say Brandon is just a guy who's doing a lot of stuff, like not a lot of stuff isn't big stuff, but you know, I've interested in many different areas, and yeah, that is me.
That's truly amazing, especially like you said, it was like the first 2 years of university, you were just that person until one day just clicked to you like, I can't, you know, it's that feeling where I think almost everyone at a point, you reach that feeling where you're just like, this is not it. This is just, I cannot just be doing this. I'm destined for more. I want to be more. So I think we're glad that you took the first step. That's very brave of you to take that first step and you're saying, I'm going to put myself out there, and I can, we can literally say the rest is history. Brandon is very, very active, a man of many hats. We see that you're a Google Developers Group co-organizer, Microsoft Lens student ambassador. You're also Africa Machine Learning Development Africa ambassador. Like, you do so much, and that is truly amazing that it only started from that one situation where you're just like, I need to do more than what I'm doing. So in your journey of ambassadorial roles, how did you get into these ambassador things and stuff? How was that part for you?
Okay, so for me to get into ambassador roles, I think the first thing that happened was I joined a local community for Google Developer Student Clubs. And from there onwards, you know, the community was just starting up, and there weren't so many people who were skilled enough to take the leadership positions. So an opportunity was open for those who wanted to volunteer into those roles. And, you know, of course, at first I was scared, but then I gathered up my guts. I offered to take the voluntary role. And that is how I started as a technical lead for Google Developer Student Clubs. Then along the way, as I remember, Zindi wanted to host their first hackathon in Zimbabwe. And Data Science Zimbabwe was looking for people who could actually organize at their local universities. And I sort of like volunteered for the role. even though I didn't know anything that is data science related. And then from that, those experiences, I started, getting more and more opportunities, and because I was trying to make a mark for myself, I ended up taking so many. With the first being a hot prize campus ambassador. I'll say that, yeah, that is the first. And a few weeks later, I think that is when I got the Google Developer Student Club's lead. And then afterwards, roles would just pop up, and I had to decide whether it was something that I was looking for. That is how I ended up, wearing so many hats.
Wow. Can you just explain more on the ambassador? What is the role of an ambassador? I think most people in the ambassadors world, they think about diplomatic ambassadors, but in terms of space you are operating in, what is your role as ambassador supposed to do?
Okay, so for me, the role of an ambassador, for most people, it is just you maybe representing a certain organization's interests, at a community level, maybe at a school level. But for me, it is sort of like, bringing access, to so many different things to people who didn't have that much access to them. Because I can tell you, when it came to the tech community that I'm active in, it was a matter of we looked at ourselves when we were part of the GDSC core team, right? Before I was the lead, and we looked at what the people would actually benefit from, and we discovered that it was just us students, no direction, no whatsoever. So we just thought to ourselves, like, how about we sort of like bring those global organizations, so that the people could get exposure, could get access to, world-class learning material. So for me, the role of an ambassador is, me just being the guy who can actually reach out to the organizations and tell people that, okay, my community could benefit from this and that, right? And then actually bring that stuff to the community and also listen to what the community needs. So for me, it's just like being the middleman between the community and, those organizations that I represent.
Thank you for your explanation on the role of an ambassador. In terms of communities, I want to understand a bit more about communities in general. I had the pleasure of talking to Phoebe. She's also a community manager based in from Nigeria. So now I want to understand from your perspective. She gave us a perspective. Now I want to know your perspective. It's like when it comes to communities, building communities is always hard. I think a lot of people have seen that, and they've seen that it's very difficult. It's not something easy. We have seen so many communities just come up, and like, oh, guys, try join my community, do this, and it just slowly fades away. And I think it's mostly comes to engagement. And I think that's something most people, I think, would be really interested in. Like, how do you build a community around engagement, like engagement? Because just telling people, let's all join this WhatsApp group, let's all join this whatever, it's very easy. But it's now getting that engagement of it, like, when you send maybe a message in WhatsApp so people can discuss about it, you only see it about out of the 200 people, there maybe only like three people are talking, discussing. How do you get everyone to be engaged in the same, in the conversation and in the community so it can grow and people can learn from each other?
Well, I would say that it's nearly impossible to get everyone engaged, because people join, communities, maybe new programs for different reasons. Some actually are interested, others just want to see where things go. So I don't think there is a community that I've managed to actually have it at 100% engagement. But what I can say is, if you want your community to actually keep on going, you have to work with a small group of people that are actually interested in whatever it is that you're standing for. And from that small group, try to put in the work, make sure that the results start showing. And from there onwards, that is how people start getting, interest in what the community offers and start jumping into the community. I can give you an example of a time in 2021 when I was the new GDSC lead for my school, and The first thing that you do when you start is, you know, you just invite people, everyone on board. I made my core team. It had something like 12 people. And, you know, it was simply because they were just interested in seeing, you know, where it goes. Not they were really in that into, they were really into, you know, the tasks that were attained. So we had a competition that was the Potras Hackathon. I asked all the guys who were interested to actually come up with ideas. And I think only 4 or 5 people showed up, right? And we made a team. We applied for the Potras Hackathon. And then after we got accepted, and, you know, we went to Kwekwe for something like 3 days. There was some kind of money that was involved. And we didn't win that chess competition. So after all that happened, when the next competition was announced, we just got into the group and asked people to actually come up with ideas. And people jumped in because, you know, they had seen it working. They had seen that, you know, there are actually people who are committed maybe to a certain cause and are actually benefiting. That is how people started, you know, jumping into whatever we had because they had seen it working and, you know, benefiting some other people. So that is usually the approach that I try to use. Just gather a few people that are so interested and make sure that you do something that shows results. Because when it comes to engagement, there are those that actually want to be part of and might be scared, right? But once you start working on something, the questions start coming in. That is how the conversations start. And eventually, you can even convert them to be, you know, teammates. And then there are those, you know, that have doubts, especially in this age where people sort of like value their time, right? But once they see something working, then they know, oh, this is, you know, something that we can actually put our time into and benefit from it.
Show us the results. That's what my old headmaster used to say. Show us the results. Show us the results. And I think that brings what you're saying to the point, like, when you start producing results, more and more people are keen to join and be part of it. Because I don't think anyone likes being left behind. Maybe if I'm interested in tech, then there's this tech group which is doing places, they're going for competition, they're winning. I see that as an opportunity to also elevate myself to the next level, which is truly, the best way to get engagement. Then also in that basis of communities, it's a very tricky space, I think, of communities. And I think with the previous discussions, I have had many discussions in the past month with a lot of people from different industries. Their main thing was like, for the growth of community of Africa, is we need more communities. Because we look at it in this aspect of, we talk about cybersecurity. There are not as many communities compared to other things. There's animation, there's filmmaking, we don't really see these. Or is it there by this poor marketing, or we need to start creating a safer space for these communities to truly like flourish to the next level? What is happening exactly with this? Because I think a lot of people want, they've got so many interests, but they seem to be finding it hard to find communities. So what do you say on that topic?
The first thing that I would agree with everyone is, we need so many, you know, communities that cater for different, you know, needs that our members might have. That is the first thing. Then the second thing is, let's say we have a few communities that are actually there. They need to collaborate in some way, because you know that old saying where they say that, you know, united we stand, divided we fall, you know, because if you have something like 10 communities that are all competing against each other, it is very hard for, you know, someone who's just standing and just looking at them to see the results. But if those 10 actually combine together and, you know, do something, then, you know, people actually start noticing. I can just say, like, the same way the Zim developer guys actually brought so many people together and hosted their Zim Dev Fest, that is when people started saying, oh, well, great things are happening in the tech space. But great things have been happening in the tech space, just that, you know, they were happening in parallel. But when that group of guys actually, brought everyone to the same table and say, okay, guys, this is what we're going to do. We're going to collaborate. We're going to work together to make this happen. You know, that is when, everything just started seemed bigger than, than it has always sounded. But the tech space had always been big. But, those guys actually managed to pull in everyone and make it seem bigger.
Let's not compete with one another. Let's collaborate. I think that is something that is truly the whole entire story there. Like, the community is maybe there, but it seems like they're communicating with one another. Everyone is pulling certain people to a community. And I think this is just due to our nature of our educational system in Zimbabwe. It's like from primary to high school, it's competitive in nature. Then when you get a uni, they start saying, work with each other in groups. We need you guys to do this. And this is all depending on your grade. So and not a lot of people have gone through the university routes where they learn about collaboration. So I think that is the next phase of communities. Like, guys, let's collaborate. Let's bring things together. I see you're also event organizing. I don't know. Did you have the chance of going to the Zim Dev Fest?
Unfortunately, I couldn't attend the Zim Dev Fest because I had another event in Gweru at that exact time. But yeah, I would have loved to actually attend.
Same, yeah. I think for me, it was mostly I had to go back to school and then the festival happened. I would have really loved to see that. But now back to the events. When you're building an event, right, what are some key components you always make sure, like, for event to be a success, this is what the event needs? What are those key components you always say, like, every time you're organizing an event, maybe your checklist, your things that, like, come rain, come thunder, these things have to be there for this event to be a success?
For me, the key thing that has to be there, of course, is the participants. Because again, what's a very, wonderful and nice, expensive event, and then no one shows up. So as long as there are participants, I would consider it, to be a good event. But then after that, I would say that after each and every event, there is something that, the participants should gain, be it something new or something that is being reinforced. Because there's no use for someone to just attend an event and, not get anything. And necessarily, it doesn't have to be maybe new information. It might be, some kind of some connection, some networking happening. But for me, that is the key thing. The participants have to gain something. They should actually gain something, be it information, maybe network. Or in some cases, if the fans allow, maybe a couple of sweats, because from the communities that I'm mainly based in, that is tech communities, sweats actually mean a lot to the people. So yeah, I would say information, gain something, a network, in some sweat, and I would consider it a good event, if not a great event.
Thank you for those things. I think people should take that into account, like when you're having your event. The most important people are the people who are attending the event. Make sure the event is for the people. And at least if things go according to plan, at least they have something that they can always gain from the event. No one wants to just go to an event and just come back the same person. They want to change. They want to meet someone new. Yeah. They want to meet different people. Then from someone I've seen like you who's in many, many communities, I think this one is kind of out there in the world. Like you meet people who are all talk and no show. Or no, cannot do what they say. What advice can you give to people, like, instead of talking, but do the work? What type of way does someone has to get to a certain level of being good at something for them to start talking? What would you say about that? Like, get to a certain stage like this, then you maybe can start saying, oh, guys, I can do this. What are your thoughts there?
I would say, talk about what you can deliver despite the level that you are at. Because if you were to sort of like wait for you to reach a certain level before you can start talking, you might not end up talking at all. But, if you talk about what you can deliver, there will be people supporting you. There will be people, offering their assistance when they need to. And there will be people actually correcting you so that you become a better version. Because I would give an example of myself. In my circles, people say I'm too vocal about what I do, because you know we are raised in a culture whereby you have to keep your cards close to your heart, let people see the results. You know they should know about the process and all. But for me, it doesn't really work, because I would tell you the first 2 years, I thought you know I had to be someone great before I could you know. I could actually maybe make a change to other people's lives or before I could actually be heard. But when I just chipped in the GDSE core team, like I told you, I didn't have much experience. And there I was, you know, talking about what we were supposed to be doing and stuff. I would find out that people would actually come in and correct me where I was wrong. And at the end of the day, it helped me grow. So I would say that, yeah, you can talk as long as you are putting in the effort. And then you don't have to sort of like overpromise when it comes to talking. Yeah, because people have this tendency where they talk as if they can, you know, move mountains. And then at the end of the day, they fail. Because if you promise too much and deliver too little, you know, people will not take you seriously next time. But you know, if you promise something that is achievable and maybe you do it, people will just say, oh, you did great. If you fail to do it, people will try to sort of like help you analyze where you went wrong and you know, give you the lesson that you can use for whatever next thing that you'll be working on.
Thank you for that. I think that's what you were talking about. Just brought a saying I once heard from the movie actor Matthew McConaughey. And you were saying in his talk he did on a podcast, he's like, say what you can do and do what you can say. If you can't say don't over leverage yourself. And I think that is something that a lot of people do. You see someone who's starting out, someone offers them a complex project, like, can you do this? And they say yes. Then only for the deadline to be around the corner and they start saying, giving excuses. And, you know, for the someone who has put the investment in you, that's a lot of time wasted. And it's really painful. Like, I thought you were going to do it this year. My plans are all messed up. But otherwise, I think it's very interesting what you do, Brendan, because I've always been amazed by it. Like, you know, building communities, trying to help people, engagement. I remember I attended... We met earlier this year in May when I attended the International Women's Technology Day at and it was those things I always find amazing, because when I got there to the event, I was the only guy at the start and just felt really weird. I have to be honest, I'm not gonna lie, guys. It was very weird. I was the only guy there and it's all female, and I'm like, am I in the wrong place? What do you say? You just do not believe
we go.
But as the event went on and more and more people came in, and I'm actually grateful that I actually went for that event, because we met a lot of people. I was able to talk, we were able to hear some stories about so many things. And I think, what do you say to people, like, you know, what can you say to people about going to events, even if it's something that might not be in your range? What do you say to them? Because for me, I would advise people, just if it's something in line with your interest, just go. You never know what you learn. Even if it's not if maybe you're free on a weekend and there's an event, there's nothing. And if it's a free event, you're not paying, just go. There's nothing you lose, but there's more you gain. So what do you say to people like that?
Okay, I'll tell you an example. Like, I'm pretty sure you know George, right? And George has been hosting these Web3 related events. And me, I'm not really that much of a fan of Web3. Not saying that I'm not a fan. It's more like, I've set my targets for this year, and you know, Web3 is not one of them. But when George hosts his event, I always try to chip in, not because I need to learn something, or you know, maybe I need to meet new people. I attend because you never know what comes from the next meetup that you are going to attend. Sometimes you are going to meet someone who's going to link you to someone important. Sometimes, you know, you just hear the stories about the mistakes that people have made in their journeys. And you can actually learn from those, because I could tell you that there are so many mistakes that you could learn, that you could actually do. But if you can learn about, you know, how to avoid them from other people, then it's best you do so, because you wouldn't want to know that, you know, fire burns after you get burnt. So just attend, you know, if it's boring, just leave after an hour or so. You won't have lost much time, especially if you don't really have much to do. But from my experience, I've gained a lot from those events, even if they are aligned to whatever I'm interested in or not.
You never know what's going to happen when you go there. You never know who you're going to meet and what's going to happen and what can be the next chapter in your life because of that one small event. I think that is something that sums up everything. And it's truly amazing with how communities work and their growth they're doing. So from your expertise, can you just tell us the future of, you know, communities and what is the next step in our evolution of building communities and getting better as people?
If you would ask me about the future of communities, I wouldn't know, because, you know, you're dealing with people and people are unpredictable. But I like the direction in which communities are going, because recently I think there have been maybe 4 or 5 people who've been nominated to be women tech makers for Zimbabwe, which is a great thing, because, you know, we're now having more tech people interested in Zimbabwe, because Women Tech Makers is a global organization. You are finding that now, you know, there are so many communities that are coming up, and communities are now a little bit more focused than they used to. So that is sort of like a good thing. And if you were to look at the impact that communities have had on people, you would find out that there are so many people who've gained from communities. It doesn't have to be monetary all the time, but there are so many people that, you know, that have strengthened their profiles through community. And I am one of them, because I'm pretty sure that if it wasn't for communities, you wouldn't be here talking to me. I would be just another guy, you know, you didn't even know about. So I'm pretty sure that, you know, as people start to embrace communities, they are becoming much easier, you know, to organize and all. And so many people are actually getting to benefit from it. And then the exposure that comes along with being part of communities is something that is helping to shape all those young minds into something that is fit for, you know, for the world-class industry. Because there was a time whereby you could be good at a local level, at a Zimbabwean level, and then after you get to compete against the people from Nigeria, from India and stuff, you wouldn't even be, you know, half as good. Not because, you know, you are not as smart as them, but because you didn't have that exposure. So as communities are growing, the exposure is now coming to the people, and I'm pretty sure that so many people are benefiting.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you. I think the future is bright and a lot of people have benefited. Like you said, being the best in your neighborhood is not the same as being the best in the country. It's not the same as being the best in the continent or in the world. So the more you join communities, you begin to expand your views and you learn more. And
yeah,
it can easily get to being the best in the world now, because you now got different perspective. Then our last question, yeah, is just going to be, Brendan, can you just give us advice for those people who have reached that moment like you that you said, I want to be more than what I am right now? What advice can you give to those people?
I would say, you know, take the first step. Don't be afraid, because most people think they don't really measure up to the task that I attend. You know, Just make the application. Just pick up. You know, you never know what comes from that. Even if you get rejection, you actually, you know, get, you can actually get to learn about what went wrong and improve. Because like I told you, for me, it was just me volunteering for being part of the local GDSC team. Then from that, volunteering for the, you know, for the Zindi Umoja Hackathon. And then after that, you know, it was now Canvas Ambassador for Hot Prize, GDSC lead, and so many things that actually came to follow. So yeah, just take the first step and a lot can happen. You never know where you end up. Because if I were to tell you that 2 years ago, I wouldn't picture myself being half the person that I am, you wouldn't believe me. You think that maybe, you know, it is supposed to be something for just for motivation and all. But 2 years ago, you know, I didn't even envision that I would end up to this point. But after taking the first step, I then discovered that, you know, there is a lot more that the world has to offer, and there are so many people that are willing to support. So you never know where you end.
Take the first step, you never know where you end. And I think that sums up our entire conversation we had today. And I think we have learned a lot about communities, being an ambassador, doing things and helping people. So Brandon, can you just give us your contact information so people can reach out to you and connect?
Okay, so I'm available on LinkedIn, which is my favorite platform, because, you know, the social ones, being partly tech, I'm not that social. So on LinkedIn, it's Brandon T. Bandy. We just search on LinkedIn. I think I'm the only Brandon T. Bandy that is there. Then on Twitter, is my handle is at Bande Brandon with a capital B, and the Brandon is an A. Then those are the places that you can find me. Do I have to give you in my WhatsApp number as well?
If you're comfortable sharing it, that's fine with you.
Yeah, sure. So I'll just end it out, because like I told you, you never know who you meet. So it's +263, the code for Zimbabwe. Then 715-404-581. I'm available for a chat maybe anytime. So yeah, that is how people can reach out to me. And they can also reach out to me, you know, during events, because I always make sure that whenever there's an event, I always, you know, pop up.
Thank you, Brandon, for being on the podcast. Thank you for sharing your insights. Thank you for helping us understand more about communities and just going out there and getting what we want and developing as a person. Because like you said, this all started after 2 years of being in university, and you realized that you just wanted to be more in life, and you took the first step, and the journey just went wherever it went. And now we actually don't know where it's ending. It's still going, and we keep on wishing you all the best. We keep on supporting all the things you want to do, and always be there to help share the word of the things you're currently doing. So thank you once again, Brandon, on being on the podcast with us. It was lovely having you.
Thank you. The pleasure is all mine, you know, to feature on a global podcast like yours.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. Make sure to subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to. Also, make sure to follow us on Instagram, Africa's Blank Canvas Podcast, so you're always up to date with the latest news. Don't forget to share. That's the only way we grow.